Right now, we have Senate Republican Leader John Braun. Thanks for being on the show this morning.
Thanks very much for having me.
Now, I know you're really busy, so I appreciate any time. So how's the session going from your perspective?
Well, we're middle of the third week. It's been first of all, very nice to be back in person, full in-person session, and first time in 3 years. Makes a huge difference in our ability to talk to one another and across the aisle to help understand differences and a better chance of working that out in a way that takes care of all of Washington, not just the part served by the majority. So that's a real blessing. We're happy to have that. So far, you know, the first few weeks in a session are generally pretty congenial. This, I think, is definitely that. Everybody, again, on both sides seem to appreciate being back in person. But this is about the time when it starts to get a little bit tense, because the more difficult bills, the bills that we don't agree on, start to come out. We'll see how that goes. Right now, working hard to, they're on some combined policies, whether it's on public safety. There's work going on there. I'd love to talk about that. Affordability, how do we make Washington more affordable for the average Washingtonian, and education. So I think on those issues, which are our top issues and the ones we hear from people across the state the most on, there's progress. It's a slow deliberative process by design, but I think I'm still optimistic in week three, let me put it that way.
You know, I've talked to some folks that, you know, have worked in Olympia, and they'll say, you know, sometimes it'll take 17 years to get something finally passed and through. Is it going to take that long to restore public safety, in your opinion?
Well, I think there's two parts of that. I think that the current majority's messed this up pretty badly in 2021, and it's going to take a while to fix all those. But the statutory challenges, you know, when we talk about fixing what I think was a terrible decision by the state Supreme Court with a Blake decision that essentially legalized drugs, and then the bill that the majority passed that basically reinforced that, I'm optimistic. We are building a path on both sides of the aisle. There's still folks that are resisting that, that think that legalizing drugs is a good thing and are not recognizing the terrible harm it's doing to folks around the state, the terrible increase we've had in drug overdoses around the state. So on the one hand, I'm optimistic, and we're building what I think are the votes to get a good solution across both chambers. The flip side of that is just changing the law. It will take a long time to recover in areas like, you know, we were not very good to law enforcement over the last few years. A lot of folks have left the profession as a result. Many of them left the state. It's going to take, I think, years to rebuild that, but we got to start somewhere. And there's a couple things going on to do that. Again, the good news is those are bipartisan work to have some regional criminal justice training centers that help us provide training to build, to recruit and train folks to be in law enforcement. That's going to help. There's a great bill by Senator Jeff Holy out of Spokane that would have a state tax credit that would offer some money to local municipalities to hire more law enforcement officials. So those are good things, but just doing those, it's still going to take years to get people interested in the profession, recruited, trained, and on the streets and ready to do their job. So, it's good news, good direction, but it's going to take a while.
Right. I just read a recent headline that the morgues up north, you know, King County, Pierce County, they're running out of space to put deceased people who've OD'd on fentanyl. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's tragic, and it's there's some still denying that these terrible, you know, anti-police and pro-drug policies that were passed by the current majority had nothing to do with it, but the facts say otherwise, and it's tragic. And the frustrating thing for me is that we said this. We said this loud and clear in 2021 when we were passing these policies, that these policies will lead to people dying, and the truth couldn't be more plain. So we're working on, as I said, we're working pretty hard to get after the Blake decision. The pursuit issue is another one I didn't mention, but, you know, making sure our law enforcement officers have the authority to pursue criminals is a big deal. That one is tougher. We have one individual who's chair of that committee who's, you know, standing in the way. Now, that's wrong for her to do that, but the fact that her caucus is allowing her to do that is also wrong. We're going to keep pressure on that. I still think, I'm virtually certain, that there are votes on the floor. If a bill like that gets for a vote, we just have to keep pressure on to make sure it gets all the way through and gets to a vote. That's the challenge.
So, you know, the fear is with the whole law enforcement is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they've been given too much power and they're abusing the power and they're just going to go around shooting and killing people for no reason. Is that it?
That's a pretty simple, you know, straightforward way to put it. I think it's wholly inaccurate. And that's not to say there aren't, bad law enforcement officers out there. There are bad folks in every walk of life, but the vast, vast majority of law enforcement officers are well trained. They're in the profession for the right reasons. They want to serve their community. They want to do a good job. They're compassionate. They're respectful. And we've frankly, been pretty, as a result of the tragic events of 2020, we turned around and made it even more tragic by attacking our law enforcement in ways, broad general ways that I think were not only inappropriate, but have been very harmful. So I know when I work, and talk to law enforcement in my community, these are folks who they don't wake up every day looking to go out and do harm. It's just the opposite. They want to do good. They're not looking to put people in jail. They're looking to keep communities safe. And that means a whole lot more than just locking people up or arresting people. It means being present. It means protecting folks. It means providing for that sense of security that people want in their communities and in their homes around the state.
Right, right. If you have any questions for Senate Republican Leader John Braun, you can email or text message. It's johnny@jodesha.com. So how do you propose we return affordability?
So this is, this is a problem that we've created in our state over decades in some cases, certainly over the last few years in others. And it's not just a state issue. I mean, we're talking about 40-year inflation. Some of that is driven by national policy. We can't affect that too much in Olympia. But there's a lot we can do, whether it's food or gas or housing or child care. There's things we can do to help make them more affordable in our state. I think the best opportunity we have this year is really centered around housing. And housing is kind of fundamental to the whole thing, is to making sure everybody has an affordable place to live, whether they're renting or buying, or that they can afford to do that. And in Washington, this is complex, but the biggest challenge is we simply don't have enough housing. And this is true all across the state, from Aberdeen to where I live in Centralia to Seattle to Spokane. Everywhere in our state, we have not built enough houses to keep up with demand. And it's a scarcity issue, and that's driving up prices. And it's driving up prices whether you want to rent or buy. And so this is I'm simplifying this somewhat, but we need to get after creating a situation where folks can build more houses at an affordable level. And that means we provide more space to build, and not every solution fits every community. We got to go both up in some urban areas and out in some areas where there's room in the UGA and beyond to build. We have to provide a regulatory environment that is affordable and predictable, that doesn't take, 3 years and $75,000 per house to build out a development. So, and there are some pretty good bills that do just that. The good news, I think, is that a number of them are bipartisan. We're working hard to support a package of bills that will help make it more affordable to build housing around the state. That's the good news. The challenge, I think, is at the same time we're doing this, there's efforts by the majority to pass bills that will undo it by, restricting development more through the Growth Management Act, or putting rent control in place in ways that prevent or at least discourage additional investment in our state to build more houses. So On the one hand, I think I'm optimistic. We're on a good path that we're working together. On the other hand, I'm worried that we do all this good work and then the majority essentially undoes it by creating, you know, other barriers to building housing.
Well, it's 19 minutes after 7. We're talking with Senate Republican Leader John Brown. I got him for a few more minutes, so if you have any questions for him, comments, concerns, you can email or text message. It's johnny@jodesha.com. So education, you proposed we reboot education. How, where, why, when?
And when it comes to education, I'm talking about, K-12, public education, and there's a couple big problems. One is we have not done nearly enough, in my opinion, to get our children back on track after the learning loss suffered as a result of, you know, school closures during the pandemic or remote learning during the pandemic. We know it didn't work right. You know, only 1 in 3 children are testing at grade level for math and reading. We have a long way to go. And whether it's intensive tutoring or summer school or maybe even rethinking how we do the school calendar long term, what we can't do is just sit back and hope this is going to fix itself. It's not going to fix itself. We need to be paying attention. The other thing I would say is we're getting on a wrong path structurally on school funding. You know, we went through the McCleary lawsuit from 2012 to 2017-18. And we worked hard to get good, better policy and sufficient funding for K-12 education. In the last few years, that's gone backwards. Once again, schools are being forced to rely on local levies that is plainly unconstitutional. We need to make sure we're properly funding basic education at the state level. And it's the sort of thing that if you don't keep your eye on the ball, you lose it. We've done it twice over history in our state, and I don't want to see it happen again. So I'm pushing hard to make sure we properly fund education. We get after the learning loss and get our kids back on track. Lots of stuff going on there. You know, as I said, you know, these are the top priorities, you know, whether it's public safety or affordability or education. There's lots of other things going on in Olympia, whether it's transportation, energy supply, environmental issue. Homelessness is a big issue, as you know, around the state, and we used to think about that in urban communities, you know, but it's a factor in rural communities. Out where you're at and where I'm at in Centralia, and there's a lot to do there. It's complex. It's mental health. It's behavior. It's substance abuse. It's affected by the home shortage we have in our state, we talked about earlier. A lot of things going on through it. And the fundamental fact is there's lots of things we need to do in terms of services to provide, help folks get off the street, but we have to do it in a society that's governed by law and order. There has to be structure, or we can't be successful, because every time you fix one thing, it pops up somewhere else. And so a ton of work to do there. I'm not sure we have time to go into all the details there, but a lot of work, a lot of thought being put on that problem here in Olympia.
Well, sir, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you got to go because, well, there's a session going on, and I know you have a lot of meetings and things to do. Thanks for taking some of your time to spend with us today.
You bet. I very much appreciate the invite and happy to come on again when we can.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, and Godspeed.